Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsus. With Jay Tarsus, Jan Ravens, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Penelope Nice, Tony Maudsley, Philip Pope, and Andy Hamilton.
Do you have to do that, son? These accounts are not easy to add up, and I'm finding it hard to concentrate. Besides, I don't think the chickens like being juggled.
Yes, they do, Father. For them, it's like they're flying, the way papa birds do.
Yes, but they're flying in very fast circles. And their clucking sounds like a cry for help.
No, no, that's excitement. You just don't know how to read chickens.
Please stop it, Joshua. You might damage them. And those two scrawny specimens are virtually the only assets we have left.
Is the shop doing badly, then?
You can say that again.
Why?
Why what?
Why do I have to say it again? I don't like saying stuff again. It always makes me feel like I'm being ignored. And then before long, I find myself wondering if I'm some kind of idiot.
Oh, I wouldn't waste your time wondering about that.
Evening, Father. Evening, Joshua.
Mary, where have you been? I wanted some help with these accounts.
Oh, I've been off in the woods doing secret training with the Revolutionary Militia, preparing for the day we strike at the heart of the British Empire. And after that, I went shopping at Obadiah's.
Our rival store, Obadiah's?
Yes.
But you always say Obadiah's an English-loving, two-faced Judas.
And nobody sells nice soap.
He sells everything. It's a great shop.
And loyal customers get given a discount. You should offer that, Father.
I don't have loyal customers. I don't even have loyal children. Don't you two realize that Obadiah's obscenely large emporium is one of the reasons nobody's coming to this shop?
Oh, don't exaggerate, Father. Six people came in today and they left with their arms full of goods.
They were bailiffs. Repossessing on behalf of creditors.
What about that old lady?
Yeah, she wanted to know how to get to Obadiah's. Now, admittedly, Obadiah's is only one of the problems dragging us under. There are other factors.
Evening, all.
Evening.
And here they both are.
Stand easy, Sergeant.
Permission to unscrew my wooden leg and soak my aching stump, sir.
Yes, yes, permission granted.
I'd rather you didn't grant permission, Captain. My customers find that stump a little off-putting.
Well, personally, I think the stump could be a bit of a crowd puller, sir. Morbid curiosity packs them in every time. Why do those chickens look dizzy?
And, what have you been up to today, dearest Mary?
Oh, this and that.
We've spent all day on patrol in the woods, searching for armed rebels.
Did you find any?
Of course not, we're not stupid.
You look tired, Captain.
Oh, you can say that again.
No. No, I'm not going to. And you can't make me.
I see you're doing your accounts, Samuel. Gracious me, that's a big number. The one with all the exclamation marks after it and the drawing of the little stick man hanging from the gallows with the word me written underneath.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty depressing debit column. And it's not helped by the fact that I'm legally required to lodge and feed you and the sergeant here. And I suppose now you'll be wanting supper.
No need, Samuel. We bought some victuals at Obadiah's.
Obadiah's?
Yes, it's a very impressive store. Yeah. There's soothing music from a mechanized harpsichord, and one of his boys holds the door open as you leave and tells you to take care now.
You see, how can I possibly compete with harpsichords and homilies from door-holding children? No, if money doesn't materialize in the next few weeks, this shop will go out of business and my children will have no inheritance.
Oh, you mustn't worry about me, Father. As you know, I'm going to be a doctor.
A doctor?
Yeah, for animals. I love animals.
But you spend a lot of your time hunting animals.
But hunting animals is an expression of your love for them, Captain. Ask any huntsman.
Yeah, but who in their right mind is going to spend money just to make sick animals better? I mean, if a critter gets sick, you kill them and cook them.
That's right.
Yeah, and if it's a tortoise, you grill it and pretend it's a pie with feet.
Well, I'm with the sergeant, Joshua. I can't see it working.
Why not? Animals like me. All sorts. Cats, dogs, pigs, bears.
Well, bears only like you because they think you're one of them, on account of your height and the fact that you're so good at wrestling and raiding those beehives.
Well, that's my dream, Father.
Well, dreams are not reality, son. Reality's a nightmare. A nightmare that's accelerating pell-mell towards bankruptcy, poverty, starvation, which is a slow, lingering death, I'm told.
Father, you're panicking.
I know, and knowing I'm panicking is making me more panicky. That's how panic works. Panic begets more panic, and before you know it, you're in the madhouse, chained to the wall and biting through your own tongue.
Samuel.
Until the dreadful final panic that stops your heart beating, and then, wah!
Apologies for kneeing you in the bollocks, sir, but I... But I did need to get your attention. Perhaps we could have a quiet word in the corner?
Yeah, I can limp that far if you can.
Right. You see, The thing is, sir, you do have a possible answer to your problems. Namely, and to wit, that somebody has offered to buy the shop from you.
Oh, you mean my erstwhile wife?
And her buxom Scottish nighttime lady friend. Yeah, now, what's the problem with accepting their offer?
Two problems. Namely, shame and humiliation.
Oh, I've never seen the point of shame. What's done is done, and you can't put the piss back in your bladder.
Well, that's hard to argue with, but it still leaves humiliation.
Well, when you look like I do, humiliation's not worth worrying about either, is it? I mean,
well, it worries me. And I'm not prepared to suffer the indignity of selling to the woman who humiliated me all those years ago by deserting me for the charms of some home-breaking female nipple tweaker.
Now, don't fall victim to pride, Sam. It's one of the three deadly sins.
Three?
Yeah, pride, sloth, and envy.
What happened to wrath, gluttony, avarice, and lust? They're sins.
Well, not in Stepney, they're not.
Sam! Sam!
Oh, no.
Shall I let Ezekiel in, Father?
Oh, go ahead, son. My spirit's broken anyway.
Felicitations.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Work? Oh, yes. Well, I've taken a short sabbatical to bring you momentous tidings. Perhaps the most momentous since bold Odysseus stood on the Ithacan shore and revealed to his beloved Penelope...
Just give it to us without the dead Greeks.
Your Aunt Sybil has died.
Our Aunt Sybil has died?
Yes.
You mean our beloved, extremely wealthy Aunt Sybil has died? Oh, that's very sad. I'll miss her terribly.
Why are you dancing like that?
Well, see, I'm dancing with grief. Grief is a funny thing. Affects people different ways. Personally, I break into a tarantella.
Turn cartwheels.
Woo-hoo, yeah. That too. See, it's an old family tradition. Aunt Sybil loved cartwheels.
Oh, I think I remember her. Wasn't she the one who hit you with a plank of wood if you smiled at her?
Yeah, well, she could be a little on the stern side, but deep down, she had a heart of gold.
Exactly how rich was she?
Well, as I understand it, her late husband was a slave trader who made his fortune from his two for the price of one offers.
Yeah, he died last year.
How old was he?
41.
Oh, pretty good innings, then.
Yeah, above average.
Aunt Sybil inherited all her fortune from him, and now we'll inherit from her!
Well, first of all, the we is inappropriate, as you are not an elephant. And what I also find distasteful is you should be sharing out her fortune when the poor woman is barely gold. I mean, cold.
Were you all very close?
Close-ish, yes. But sadly, we didn't see as much of her as we'd have liked, because,
She was a horrid old witch.
Oh, Mary, you are very wrong to call her a witch, because... Well, because she didn't float when they threw her in that pond, and... thereby proving she wasn't guilty of witchcraft. Witchcraft!
When is this will being read?
Oh, do you mind, McGurk? I have just lost a member of my family, and right now there are more important things than when is the will being read. In fact, I'm so upset, I very much doubt if I shall even attend.
And I bequeath my remaining assets to... Actually, do you mind not peering over my shoulder like that, Mr. Oliphant?
Oh, sorry, Snavely, just trying to read ahead.
Mm-hmm. And if you could desist from salivating, only you're staining my coat.
Sorry.
My remaining assets to be divided equally between my surviving relatives, to wit, my abysmal flop of a nephew, Samuel Oliphant, his two appalling daughters, and gigantic cabbage of a son. They are a truly pathetic bunch. But they are family.
Bless her heart.
I have a question.
Yes, Cora?
May I inquire as to what dear Aunt Sybil's remaining assets amount to?
£28,000.
Jesus Christ! Be praised.
My sole condition is that all the Oliphant family stand in the town square at noon on the first Saturday after my death and proclaim their belief in our Lord, the one true God. And if any of them should fail to do so... then none of them is to receive a single penny.
Well, there's no problem there.
Well, we can do it now if she wants.
The Oliphants are God-fearing folk.
Are you an Oliphant?
He is my husband.
And the father of her child. Well, I am.
Absolutely. Is that the only condition in the will?
Yes, it is. Each Oliphant will be £7,000 richer, including the big kid in the corner with the chickens.
Well, of course, that is good news, Mr. Snavely, but it's tempered by the upsetting loss of our dear departed Aunt Sybil.
You'll get over it.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. After a suitable period of mourning.
Woo-hoo! who needs more cognac? Oh. Captain, can I top you up?
Oh, this is high-quality grog, Samuel.
Yeah, I know. I bought it in Obadiah's, which is a most impressive store. In fact, I like his shop so much, I might buy it. Cora, what are you going to do with your share?
Ezekiel has already drawn up a grand design for our share.
Oh, yes, and I intend to fulfill my ambition of standing for political office.
But nobody will vote for you.
That's where the money comes in.
Money won't change us. We'll only spend it on essentials like horses, servants, a few carriages.
What of my grandson? Does he get anything?
Indeed he does. He gets a fine education with the most erudite of tutors schooling him 14 hours a day, 7 days a week in the wonders of Latin, Greek, Hebrew, divinity, mathematics, logic, hyperbole, and rhetoric.
Oh, so the little fellow's just going to have fun, fun, fun.
It's an ambitious plan, Ezekiel, but what if the child doesn't have the intellect for such arduous studies?
Oh, come, come. Of course he will. After all, he is my son, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, true, yeah, he is very much your son.
What about Joshua? What will he do with his money?
Animal doctoring. In fact, as we speak, he's probably out buying beds and bandages for bulls and bears.
And what about you, Mary? What will you spend your share on? Mary? Mary, are you all right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've just worked it out. £7,000 is the equivalent, roughly, of robbing 360 stagecoaches on that very dark wooded bit of road on the edge of Epping Forest, for example.
Looks like my money worries are over. Which means I shan't have to throw myself at the mercy of my wife and her Caledonian ear nibbler.
Oh, yeah.
A toast! To the incomparable beneficence and largesse of the dearly demised dowager, the late Sybil Truscott, née Oliphant.
And just think, by this time next week, we'll have collected our due.
Well, I, for one, will be proud to declare my faith in the God who has smiled on us so.
Hallelujah.
Yes, indeed. We'll all be proud to do it, won't we, Mary?
I won't be declaring anything.
Sorry, Mary, I didn't quite catch that.
Well, I shan't be declaring anything because... Well, because I don't believe in God.
Cover the infant's ears, Cora. Blasphemy is in the air.
You don't believe in God?
No.
Oh, Satan is sharpening his pitchfork for you, young lady.
You be quiet. Now, Mary, dearest, I think there's been some sort of misunderstanding, see?
No, there's no misunderstanding. This is supposed to be an age of rational enlightenment, and yet we still imagine our fate is decided by some old fool sitting on a cloud. Well, I don't believe in him.
Fetch a stick, Sam, and we'll beat terror back into righteousness.
Do you really not believe in him, Mary?
No, I can't see the need for him, if indeed it is a him.
But from God, all authority is derived. If you take away God, you're left with chaos.
Or freedom.
Freedom, chaos, it's all the same thing. The stick, Sam, the stick, and make it a big one.
Tell her, Father. She's just being selfish. Tell her.
No, Cora, I shan't dictate to Mary. I'm proud of the fact that she's a woman of strong mind and independent principle.
Thank you, Father.
She's also a woman of great intelligence and pragmatism, who appreciates that while principles are important in life, they're not important enough to come between her family and 28,000 big ones. Isn't that right, Mary? Isn't that right, Mary? Isn't that right?
I'm sorry, Father. I can't stand up in front of the whole marketplace and say that stuff.
You only have to say it. You don't have to mean it.
Think of my child. If you deny us this money, you will be forfeiting your nephew's future happiness.
Money can't buy happiness.
Ezekiel, fetch the stick.
One's inner being is more important than money.
Make it two sticks.
Please, this is the 1770s. We don't settle disputes with sticks, but with reasoned debate. Mary, dear sweet Mary, let me free you from all this foolish nonsense by proving to you how you're mistaken.
Well, just as long as you don't patronize me.
I wouldn't dream of patronizing you, my little puppet. But think of it this way. The Bible tells us that God made the world. Now, if there is no God, and he didn't make the world, who did?
I don't know.
Ergo, you concede that your position is founded on ignorance.
Oh, touche, Brimshaw. I had no idea you were such an intellectual titan.
Listen, smug chop, saying you don't know something is not the same as being ignorant. And I will certainly not stand up in public and say I know that which I do not know.
This is pure willfulness.
You don't need the money. Ezekiel has a well-paid job.
But I've been fired.
What?
With enthusiasm. Enthusiasm for my new career in politics. And little Ezekiel's curriculum.
Come, Ezekiel. Let's waste no more breath on this pig-headed ingrate. And you, father, you prove you're a father for once by taking that godless minx in hand and making her consider the needs of others. Good day.
Well, a few more slams should do for that door. Still, soon I'll be able to buy millions of doors. Once Aunt Sybil's money is ours.
What makes you think I'll give way?
Because I know how important your family is to you, darling. And if you love me, you'll do it.
Well, if you loved me, you wouldn't make me do it.
Just do what you have to do to get the money. That's the American way.
I thought America was supposed to be a land of freedom. Isn't that why our forefather, Isaiah Oliphant, fled here aboard the Mayflower to escape intolerance and repression?
No, he fled to escape his creditors and several angry husbands.
But I'm sure in part Isaiah came to get away from the tyranny of religious authority.
Well, one of his pursuers was a bishop, because Isaiah stole the roof off Winchester Cathedral, one of the many cathedral roofs he managed to filch.
You've never mentioned this before.
Well, I'm only giving this family skeleton a good rattle because I don't want you laboring under any more high-minded delusions. Your great-grandfather was a swindler, an adulterer, a whoremonger, and a thief.
Yep, versatility, that's the key.
Well, my point still stands. People should be free to believe in what they choose, and I believe in the divinity of man.
Well, you are in error, madam. And I should warn you that by denying the authority of the Almighty, you are implicitly rebelling against God's chosen monarch, King George. Isn't that right, McGurk?
How much can you get for a cathedral roof, then?
McGurk.
And who do you flog it to? Another cathedral, I suppose. Perhaps one that's already had its roof nicked. It's a golden circle. It's inspired. It's the perfect money spinner. You just have to stay one roof ahead.
Would you please concentrate on the matter under discussion?
Sorry. And that is?
That Mary should place her trust in God rather than man.
Oh, stop this hypocrisy, Father. You never go to church. And the only time I've ever seen you open a Bible was when you got drunk and bet McGurk that squirrels was one of the plagues of Egypt. You don't believe in God any more than I do.
Of course I believe in God. You have to believe in God.
Why?
Because somebody has to take responsibility for this mess. And if it's not God's fault, then we have to take the blame. And that's just not fair.
How high is a cathedral roof?
Now you listen here, Mary. I will brook no more nonsense. Come noon on Saturday, you'll stand in that square and comply with Aunt Sybil's wishes. I command you as your father. She'll give way in the end.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I see. And the gesture with the fingers...
That was Italian, I think. Oh, well, here goes. Dear Lord, this is the first time in a long while that I've got down on my knees and prayed to you. See, I'm in something of a pickle, and I'm not sure what to do. Perhaps you could send me some kind of sign, or even an angel.
And he dingled and dangled his dingly-dangly-dong.
Not funny, Lord.
His dingly-dangly-dong. Oh, Samuel, what are you doing up so late?
I'm praying. Do you care to join me?
Well, I don't have the knees for praying, I'm afraid. His dingly-dangly-dong was shiny green and long.
Do you only know songs that are obscene?
Well, it's not my fault that folk songs are all about romantic subjects.
Romantic?
Yeah, all of them. Well, apart from the ones about ships that sail from Liverpool. Never to return. Mind you, if you've ever been to Liverpool, you'd know that's not such a grim fate. Yeah.
Have you been drinking?
Only enough to numb the pain of my existence.
How much is that in gallons?
Four. Huh. I saw your boy down the tavern, by the way, telling everyone about his animal doctor scheme.
People weren't laughing at him, were they?
Oh, no, more than usual. What is it you're praying for, then?
Wisdom.
Ah, wisdom. Sounds sort of profound when you say it like that, doesn't it? Ah, wisdom.
Tell me, McGurk, do you believe in God?
Ah, God.
Stop it, McGurk.
Sorry.
Do you believe in the Almighty?
Well, it's compulsory, isn't it? I mean, legally, you're obliged to believe in all that biblical stuff. You know, Adam and Eve and their talking snake, Jesus and his water into wine dodge, Moses and the Three Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
I know, but I don't count the seven that aren't practical, you know. I regard thou shalt not steal and the like as just helpful suggestions, really.
I just don't know what to do, Sergeant. Yeah. This whole business with Mary and Aunt Sybil's money is causing so much ill feeling, especially between me and Mary.
Yeah, I have heard rude words being exchanged, and your Mary knows more rude words than a sailor's parrot.
I don't know. I'm in a state of bewilderment.
Ah, bewilderment.
Stop it! What do you think I should do?
Well, the way I sees it, yes, you could force Mary to comply, but at the risk of destroying her love for you. And is anything worth that? It's only money, after all.
Well, that's funny coming from you, McGurk. I was rather under the impression that money was quite important to you.
Well, what made you think that?
Oh, I don't know, little things like the way you steal from my cash box. Obviously, I read too much into that.
Yeah, yeah. You see, all I know is, when the ordure hits the bucket, the love of a daughter counts for more than money.
You know, McGurk, I've got this nauseous feeling in the pit of my stomach that tells me you just might be right. Or it could be gas.
Oh.
Oh, hello, McGurk. I wasn't expecting to find you down here at this hour.
Oh, couldn't settle, miss, on account of Captain Brimshaw talking in his sleep. Yeah? He keeps shouting out your name.
Really? I wonder what he's dreaming about.
I don't. Anyway, why are you up at this late hour, miss?
Oh, I can't sleep either. I came down to get some water.
Water?
Yes, to drink.
To drink?
Yes. Would you like some?
Oh, no, miss, but you go ahead and indulge your little foible.
Oh, what's that on the table? Oh, you've been drawing pictures.
Yeah.
What's this one? A drawing of St. Paul's Cathedral?
Yeah.
An incredibly long ladder. Leaning up against the dome.
Yeah. Just dreaming.
Mm. You draw well.
Well, thank you, miss.
And this is one of my sister Cora. Naked. Why is she naked?
Because I haven't drawn her clothes on yet. See, an artist works in stages, you see.
Tell me, McGurk, as a disinterested observer, am I being pig-headed over this whole Aunt Sybil nonsense?
Well, what do you think, miss?
I think I am. I think that I could end up sacrificing my family's love because of an inflexible adherence to principles. Well, what if I do swear allegiance to the Lord? What does it cost me? They're only words.
True, miss. Only words, and you will retain their love.
That's right.
Yeah, and all you'll have lost is your honour, integrity, and self-respect.
Yes. But the way I see it, Father will never have money worries again.
Oh, yes, true. In fact, he'll have more money than he'll know what to do with.
Yes, which is nice.
Very nice, yeah, provided he doesn't fall into that familiar spiral of excess debauchery, opium addiction, and death.
Oh, money wouldn't affect him like that. No, Father has good judgment. I'm sorry, did you say something?
No, miss, no.
And, of course, there's the others to consider.
True, yeah, and Cora and Joshua and Ezekiel are all intelligent and sensible people. I'm sure they can be relied on to spend the money prudently. I'm sorry, did you say something?
No. So are you suggesting that it'd be better for all concerned if I stood firm by my principles?
Well, it's good to have principles.
Well, you don't have any.
I can't afford them. Oh, when you live by the bayonet, miss, morals come as cheap as a Stepney whore on a wet Tuesday.
And that's pretty cheap, right?
Mm, 2 farthings at the outside, one if she's ugly.
Well, McGurk, this is not the advice I'd have expected from you, but, oh, damn it, you're right. I should stand on my honor. It's important to be able to look yourself in the eye and stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah, those were the days.
You know, McGurk, I had you down as a disgusting and ignorant barbarian. But I can see now I was only half right.
Oh, thank you, miss.
All righty, who wants to join me? I have a quart of Obadiah's finest cognac that I put by to celebrate. And celebrate I will. I'm celebrating my imminent penury, abject humiliation, and shameful, shame.
I suppose the philosophical way to look at it is that although Mary lost you the money by not turning up in the town square yesterday, she only lost you money that a week ago you never knew you were going to get in the first place.
Oh, go sit on your sword and shimmy on it. Joshua, will you stop juggling those chickens?
It's medicinal. They're looking peaky, and I'm trying to boost their morale.
Well, bang goes your animal doctor scheme, Joshua, and bang goes young Ezekiel's schooling.
£28,000 that should have been ours has gone instead into a charitable trust to be administered by Snavely the lawyer, who I understand has now disappeared, along with his neighbor's wife.
Never trust a lawyer or a wife. I'm doomed.
Exactly, how big is your debt, Samuel?
It's as big as your big fat English ass.
I'm only trying to help.
You could still sell up to your missus.
Oh, shut up, Stumpy.
Well, we're going to see the magistrate with a view to pursuing that weasel of a lawyer, Snavely.
And if I see that blaspheming daughter of yours, Samuel, I shall whip her sinful hide.
If you touch Mary, I'll rip your head off your shoulders and stuff it so far up your backside, you'll be peeping out through your belly button.
Elegantly put, son.
Come, husband. I guess we're not welcome here.
Good guess.
This family's in trouble, Samuel. Like the crew of the doomed Argos, saving towards the twin perils of Scylla and Charybdis, whose clashing rocks guarded the channel.
Elegantly slammed, McGurk.
Listen, Sam, I know it's just a drop in your stormy ocean, but I could spare you some money out of my savings.
Your savings?
Yeah, I can only spare £500.
£500?
Yeah, but it might buy you a little time with your creditors, see you through your present emergency.
Well, Roy, I don't know what to say, other than, well, thank you. Oh. I'd offer you a drink, but I've just drained this cognac, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't you worry. You take my arm, and we'll adjourn to the tavern. With your permission, Captain.
Permission granted, and well done, McGurk. I'm proud of you.
Off we toddle then, Samuel.
Well, that leg, Sergeant, is that new?
Oh, do you like it? Yeah, I just bought it. £65. It's best pine. Mm. Yeah, the smell masks the aroma from my bowels.
Mm. Well, that's a turn-up. £500, plus that new leg. I had no idea McGurk was so well-placed financially.
Well, I think perhaps someone left him a bit of money in their will.
Huh. Why do you think that?
Well, because I saw him in a tavern last week, and he was laughing and shaking hands with Snavely the lawyer.
Oh. Right. Well, good luck to him.
Revolting People featured Jay Tarsus as Samuel, Andy Hamilton as Sergeant McGurk, Jan Ravens as Mary, and James Fleet as Captain Brimshaw. Ezekiel was played by Hugh Dennis, Cora by Penelope Nice, Joshua by Tony Maudsley, and Snavely by Philip Pope. Revolting People was written by Jay Tarsus and Andy Hamilton, and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.